This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Even on this side of the pond, the pomp and pageantry of Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee are making headlines. Turns out that a slower creep of old Britannia has been grabbing the American imagination and vocabulary for some time. Cricket.
Civic on strike. Oh, he's beaten it with a beauty. And it's going to be a referral upstairs.
Sound there from the 2011 Cricket World Cup series when India played Bangladesh. Cricket is the world's second most popular sport and a staple in India, Pakistan, the Caribbean, and of course the UK. America's increasingly diverse population is making for cricket hotbeds in the colony that first rejected British rule. Liz Clark is a sports writer with the Washington Post. We read her article, Cricket Starts to Make Noise in the U.S., and wanted to hear more. Liz, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much.
Who's playing cricket here in the U.S.?
Pardon me?
Who is playing?
Of course. No, that's a terrific question. The quick and logical answer is are a bunch of expats from India and Pakistan, England, Australia, the Caribbean, where cricket is just wildly popular. It's the second most popular sport in the world. There are a lot of people who are recreating home and love of the game here in the U.S. But that said, what I found that was so interesting, particularly in the Washington area, is that there's a lot of college students kind of curious about the game and joining cricket clubs on campuses. And there's also a push on the part of cricket enthusiasts to introduce the sport in elementary schools. So I visited a school and watched third and fourth and fifth graders play the game, and it's just tremendous. They understand the rules, they know the scoring, and it's a very active game for little kids and adults. So it's much broader than you might think or that I thought initially.
I can see the appeal of cricket for youth leagues. So, but what are some of the hurdles keeping cricket from gaining widespread traction on a professional level here in the U.S.?
Sure. Well, I think it's just baffling to a lot of people, particularly adults. At most, we might see a photo or a little blip on TV of gentlemen in white long pants and these sort of rectangular bats, and they seem to be running back and forth and back and forth. And so the rules are kind of hard to grasp. Unless someone, of course, sits down and explains it to you, because baseball really derived from cricket, so it's not radically different than baseball. There are some key differences. So I think the rules are a little strange. And then, of course, it's not part of our media. It's not, there's no Monday Night Cricket on TV. And
right.
It's not something ESPN has leveraged. In the way that ESPN can make almost anything a sport, whether it's snowboarding or poker or, once it's someone broadcasts it in a fun and interesting way, people get interested. So at the moment, there's a lot of people who kind of confuse it with croquet, and it's just one of those sports that is played elsewhere.
Right, and it has its own lingo. It has its own little outfits.
Yeah.
But you point out that cricket has a pretty long history here in America. It was played here. How did baseball not get off the pitch as the national pastime?
Oh, boy, that's a very good question. I think the main reason, and I hope I'm not giving this short shrift, but cricket, as it's traditionally played, can last 8 hours. It can last, a couple days. So because you get to bat, sort of, a team gets to bat until you're out. So baseball, just with, it's funny, kind of by today's standards, a lot of people feel baseball goes on too long to capture the attention span of young people. But by comparison, the format was a lot more palatable, I think, for American taste.
I wonder also, it's so very emblematic of Britishness, in its own way. Was it a conscious throwing off of the yoke of Britain to say, we're playing our own sport?
Oh, now that's interesting. I don't know. That's very provocative. I think that could have been afoot. But one thing that I was interested to learn is that in many of the Caribbean nations that had been sort of British outposts or cricket became sort of a political tool and identity, and a sense of separateness from Britain.
I'm thinking of that book. Do you know the C.L.R. James book, Beyond a Boundary? It's kind of a memoir, but cricket becomes this kind of center of the nexus of colonial rule and class antagonism. Mm-hmm. It's very symbolic.
Yes. And the Caribbean players brought a total new power and athleticism and a vibrancy and energy to the game. And they captured the imagination of kind of the cricket world. And it was very empowering. It wasn't, it would sort of signal their emergence in a way, even though it does have this sort of staid, British stuffiness thing that a lot of people associate with it.
Well, so many Americans seem to have a kind of mental block when it comes to understanding cricket or even rugby. So what about for you, Liz? You watch some of these games. Do you get it? Do you find yourself passionate about cricket now?
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. I totally enjoyed it. But I have to say, I mean, I enjoyed watching the elementary school kids play as much as the really, really accomplished club leagues here in D.C. just because everybody gets to bat, everybody gets to field. There's a great chance for success because the way the bat is shaped. And so there's lots of hitting. The kids that I met described it to me as, well, it's baseball without the boring part. And, you know, so I'm not trying to put down baseball, but, you know, I just found the kids to love it. They cheered for each other. It's a great, there's a great premium on sportsmanship and collegiality. I still am not real quick with the scoring. I mean, I have to work hard to keep track of the score, and even then I'm unclear. But I could see that it could really catch hold, and particularly, I mean, so many of us get our sports through TV. Mm-hmm. So if it's packaged and broadcast in a cool way, I think it could take hold.
Yeah, there's that 8-hour problem. We want to thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, Liz.
Thank you very much.
Liz Clark, bye-bye. Sports writer with The Washington Post. You can find a link to her article, Cricket Starts to Make Noise in the U.S. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Now coming up, a scholarly home for wayward academics living off the beaten tenure track. A look at the Ronin Institute. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.